In this webinar, I want to show you, I want to explain how Azure Remote App works, how you can deliver your applications with Azure Remote App to your end users. My name is Arjen Vroege. I'm working for Innovative, a Belgium-Dutch company consulting for Microsoft services. You can find my blog and Twitter information on this slide deck, so if you want to follow me, you can use that information. Then continue to the agenda for today. First, I want to take, I want to give you an overview about what Azure Remote App is, what functionality is there, and then I want to continue in my first demo. If it works, I want to show you how you can set it up from the Azure portal, what configuration needs to be done. Then I want to continue back to the slides. To give you some detailed information on some important topics around Azure Remote App, and if possible, I want to show you the client experience with Azure Remote App, and finally, some time for Q&A. But let's first take a look to the background of Azure Remote App. Azure Remote App is part of the Enterprise Mobility Suite, and the Enterprise Mobility Suite is there to enable your users to work on their terms with their devices and apps and data. But on the other hand, we have our IT department, which want to protect at least the data and their apps they are publishing. So for that, Microsoft has the Enterprise Mobility Suite. And with the Enterprise Mobility Suite, you can enable your users, but you get you have the control still there. So what topics are in the Enterprise Mobility Suite? We have first our hybrid identity by the Azure Active Directory. We have mobile device and application management through Intune, and we have access and information protection with Azure Rights Management. And of course, desktop virtualization and Azure Remote App is a part of that topic. So then looking to the desktop virtualization's progression, we see we started in the on-premise world with session-based computing. Session-based computing is sharing your desktop or remote apps on a server. So that's a Windows server-based operating system, and users share their session on those servers. So that's a very cost-effective solution, and from the IT side, it's easy to manage. But it was not always performance-wise the most optimal solutions. So there came Virtual Desktop Infrastructure, VDI. And VDI is delivering a dedicated virtual machine to your users that could be pooled or personal, but with a client operating system installed. So that will give the user a higher performance and a better app compatibility, because apps will run easier or better on a client operating systems compared to a server operating system. So that are our on-premise solutions there. Looking to what we can do in the cloud, we can set up our session-based solution also on Azure Infrastructure as a Service. Then we're creating a whole infrastructure on Azure and providing the same functionality from the Azure platform. And we, of course, have Azure Remote App. And then we only have to upload our image or our session host image, and Microsoft will take care of the infrastructure, and you just can deliver your apps to your users from the Azure cloud. So both cloud solutions, you will only be built for the users. So that's compared to your on-premise world, different. In the on-premise world, you have to build or you have to create your infrastructure, your hardware, your network, and your storage. But in Azure, that's all taken care of, and you only have will be built for the resources you're using. So then looking to Azure Remote App, what is Azure Remote App? It's delivering remote applications from a reliable platform like Azure. It's also providing access to your corporate applications on the user terms, so from anywhere on any device and any time. It's delivered through the Microsoft RDP protocol, and it does have remote FX capabilities. It's a scalable solution, so it will scale up and it scale down based on your needs, on your business needs, and that is done automatically. So if you need a lot of resources because you're a seasonal company, then it will scale up and scale down when not needed. And we have a lot of deployment options, so we can also say that a flexible solution on that. So then continue to the different options we have regarding deployment. The easiest and fastest way to start with Azure Remote App is to do a cloud deployment. With a cloud deployment, you can start using a provided image by Microsoft with already pre-installed Office, or you can select your own one. But it's a rapid provisioning process, just five clicks and you have your Azure Remote App environment ready for your users. You have the capability of automatic maintenance when using a cloud deployment because you're using a platform image. I will in later on my slide deck I will explain later on what it is. And you have the possibility to log on with a Microsoft account on an Azure Active Directory account, which could be federated with your on-premise credentials. Then looking to the second deployment solution you have, that's a cloud deployment with VNet. That's basically the same as a cloud deployment, but the only difference here is that you have you can connect to your existing Azure virtual network. So with this solution, you can access your Azure infrastructure as a service resources. But if you have a VPN connection or an ExpressRoute connection to your on-premise network, you can also get that connection, and through that connection, you can access your resources in your own on-premise network. There is a limitation at this deployment, and that is that there is no Active Directory join. So all cloud deployments are workgroup-based, no Active Directory there. Then looking to the remote app hybrid deployment, that's the advanced deployment solution. It is fully customizable looking to your apps, operating system, and the settings of those. You have to create your own image, so you cannot use a Microsoft one, so you have to create and upload your own image. That will also mean that you have to maintain that image. So yeah, that's your responsibility there. You will have full access to on-premise network, because you need also that VNet connectivity. And with a hybrid deployment, it's only possible to log on with your Azure Active Directory credentials. So in a hybrid deployment, there is no support for Azure Active Directory, and I will explain later on why that is. So then take a look to the cloud deployment. Deployment options are based on Windows 2012 R2 session virtualizations. I already explained the dynamic scalability. It is a global presence in Azure, so remote app can be deployed in almost all regions. It's a secure one ready connectivity, and we have clients for a lot of operating systems, but I will come back to that later. So then looking to the cloud deployment in detail. So it's all starting with selecting your image. So that could be a pre-built one from Microsoft, or you can upload your own one. And based on that master image, Microsoft will deploy a collection, an Azure Remote App collection. And that collection consists of session host servers, and that will be deployed by Microsoft. So when that is deployed, the next step is to publish your applications. I will explain in the demo, if possible, how you can do that. And when you have deployed your applications, you can assign your users, and those users can log on through RDP to those applications. The user data is saved in a persistent user disk of 50 gigabytes per collection. So per collection, each user will have its own user profile disk. Authentication can be done through a Microsoft account or an Azure Active Directory account, and optional, you can configure a synchronization with your on-premise Active Directory. Then looking to a cloud with VNet deployment, the only difference here is that it's still the same. You're selecting your image, Microsoft will deploy the environment, you publish your apps, and your application of your users can access those applications. So no difference on that. The only difference here is that you have that VNet connection, and you have the possibility to create an Azure VPN connection to your on-premise network, so you can use your online resources like an LOB application or file system of files. So that's the difference with a VNet deployment. And then, of course, we have our hybrid deployment, and this deployment is a little bit different because we cannot use a Microsoft-provided image. We have to use our own image. Those session hosts will be domain joined to your on-premise Active Directory. So if you have your Active Directory only on-premise available, then you need that Azure VPN connection. That's a prerequisite. If you have your Active Directory domain running in Azure infrastructure as a service, then the Azure VPN is not a prerequisite, but you need to have a Windows Server Active Directory available to join those instances of Azure Remote App. So for that reason, you can't only use an Azure Active Directory account, which need to be synced with Windows Server Active Directory. So here, the sync option is not optional, it's a required one. And therefore, you can only use an Azure Active Directory account. So Microsoft accounts are not possible in a hybrid deployment. Then looking to the pricing model, we have two tiers available, basic and standard, and they are differentiated based on performance. So the basic tier is designed for lightweight application usage, and the standard tier is designed for office workers or knowledge workers. So if you have advanced users, they have to work with the standard. You can change your plan each time you want, and you can upgrade and downgrade. Both options are available, so that's flexible. Both options of both plans are priced per user per month. So the minimum there is 20 users. So at this moment, the minimum users you will get billed for is 20. But you don't need additional Windows Server or Remote Desktop Services licenses. So that price is including the license, but also includes the compute and storage costs. So that price you see there is the price. So no additional costs will be there. So now I want to go to my demo, and I have to present. In this demo, I want to show you the capabilities of Azure Remote App and how you can set it up from the Azure portal. So first, I need to log on to the Azure portal. So I'm entering my credentials. And you will see that I'm logging into the old manage.windowsazure.com portal. Currently, there is no resource management API available for Azure Remote App. So I have to use the old portal. So now I'm logged on to the old portal and my resources are loaded. Here we have Azure Remote App. So you see I've here currently also two collections created. So I have a hybrid base and a cloud based collection. And I said it's just 5 clicks away to set up Azure Remote App. So this is the first click. Here under App Services, Azure Remote App. Here you have the Quick Create option. And the Quick Create option will create a cloud-based collection. So you can give it a name. Then you have to decide in which region you want to create your Azure Remote App collection. And it's important to note that your images need to be available in the same region. So I'm now have selected the North Europe region, and when I then take a look, I only have the capability to select a Microsoft image. When I now select the West Europe region, this is normally my own region of the region where I live in. Here I have also uploaded my own images, and here I can also select a custom image. So for now I click on cancel because I already have one. So let's take a look in the collection, starting with the dashboard tab. In the dashboard tab, you will see all the information which is for this collection. So you will see in which location and which subscription the collection is. And you will also see some usage information here. If we go to user access here, we can add users and remove users. As I already explained, I can add a work or school account. So when entering the user account, it will automatically check if this user is okay. So, and I can also give a Microsoft account. So now I'm entering a Microsoft account. Azure Remote App will take care of checking if the account is possible to log on. And when that is okay, you see the check marks, and then I can click on save. And now the updated access will be saved. And now the user can log on through the client, and then
get their applications. And which applications the users will get, you will see in the publishing section. So here you will see which applications are currently published through this collection. And it's easily, you can easily publish an application by going to publish, click on start menu programs, and here you will see all the programs which are available through the start menu of the image selected image. So here I can easily select an application and click on the OK check mark, and then the application process, publishing process will start. So you will see here that the publishing process is started, and that takes a couple of seconds, and when finished, yeah, the application is published, and you will see that the icon will change, and then the users can start that application. So we wait for that for a couple of seconds to complete that process, and that should not, yeah, here you see now the calculator icon is changed and the state is changed to published. Then we have also the sessions tab. Here you will see the currently active or disconnected sessions, if they are there. At this moment I have no connections to my cloud-based collection, but when we have connections you will see them here. And here you have the option then to log off or disconnect the session or send a message to a user. The next stop is about scale. Here you can change your scaling, so here you can change the service plan. As I already explained, you can revert back to basic or you can upgrade to standard, and you will see for the number of users you get billed. So, and the last stop is about all getting support and which support solutions there are. So now I'm going to my hybrid based collection to showing you the difference. The only difference there is the first screen, the dashboard screen. Here again you will see the usage information, but of course you will have, you should see different parameters. And there they are. So going to the dashboard again, you should see some different parameters available. Here you will see also my template image, because I use a custom one, my virtual network. You will see also my domain information there. So with this information, you can see which domain has been used to create a hybrid based collection. The next step I want to show you is how to create a cloud-based collection with VNet, which is released in August. So I'm going to create with VNet, and here I can enter a name. So in my case it will be Cloud with VNet. I'm selecting the standard plan, and here I have to decide which virtual network I want to use and on which subnet I want to add those instances to. In my case it's just my standard VNet in West Europe. Also important, here you're selecting your region for this cloud. So if your VNet is in a different region, you have to upload your images which you want to use in this collection to that same region. So it's important to note that the virtual network decides in which region this collection will be deployed. Then you have the option to join local domain. If you select yes, a hybrid based collection will be created. If you select here no, then a cloud based collection with VNet support will be created. So in my case I want to create a cloud with VNet, so I'm selecting here no, and I click on create collection. So now the collection is created, and in a couple of seconds it will ask me to give extra input. So input required. So I'm going to that collection, and the first thing to note is that I need to link a template image. So I'm clicking on link template image, and here I have three solutions for linking a template image. The first one is import an image from Azure Virtual Machines, Infrastructure as a Service. The second one is uploading a new template, and the last one which I'm going to use is link an existing template. I have already existing templates here, so I'm selecting just one of those templates. They are also in the same region, and when I click on the check mark, it will link that template image to this collection, and automatically the provisioning process will be started. So that's now started, and that can take up to 1 hour, so I will not wait for that. The first thing I want to show you in the second demo is that my Cloud with VNet deployment is deployed. So here you can see that based on that master image, my Cloud with VNet deployment is created, And you will see here that my virtual network is shown, but not the AD information, because we used the cloud with VMware. So now I can configure the user access and the app publishing, and afterwards the users can log on to this collection. But in this demo, I want to focus on the user experience side. So here I have my Azure Remote App Client, and I want to log on to one of my collections. In my case, it will be the hybrid one. So I'm logging in with a user, and I need to enter my password. So when logged on with this user, I will get my applications. So from now on, I can start those applications. I can start them from here. So if I want to start my Notepad++, I need to I click on the icon, and then I need to give my second credentials. I already explained in the presentation that the first logon is your Azure Active Directory credentials, and now I need to log on to my on-premise domain. So here I need to enter my credentials again, and you can remember them. So if you don't want to put them every time you log on, then you can remember them. But for now, I've give them. So now my session is starting. So I will now be logged on to that remote app instance, and when logged on, it will start my Notepad++ application. And note, this is an FV application which is streamed. So currently my streamed FV application is started, and I can use this application as a normal application. You will see also the shortcut that the remote app icon is shown here. So you will see the difference between a remote app program and a normal installed program on your laptop or your normal device. So I can also close this one. I can also close my my remote app client, but in the background the connection is still there, and those apps are also published to my start menu. So here I have the same apps as I have in my client, and I can also start them from here. So basically the same is happening here. I have my session, so now the applications will be started. I need to give my credentials again, and in a couple of seconds I should see the Notepad++ application. So here it is. So now I want to do the same on my phone. So I'm going to my phone. Here I will have my phone. So I'm entering my password, so I'm reverting back to another application. So here is my phone. Here I have my remote desktop client, which is available for Windows Mobile. So I'm starting that application, and here my credentials are kept. So if I now go to apps, you will see all the applications from that user which is cached in my application. So of course here I can also start to choose to start Notepad++. So again, the connection is initiated, and it will ask me also for my credentials here. So I'm going to enter my credentials. So I've entered my credentials, and now I can go to connect, and now it will be connected, and you will see that I will go back to my Notepad++ application. So also this session was connected from my laptop, and now it's on my phone, and I can reconnect to this session. So I'm working on my phone, and when I start that application from my laptop, it will take over that session. I need to enter my credentials, but when done, it will give me the same session, and you will see what will happen on my phone. So let's wait a couple of seconds. And here you see I'm disconnected at my mobile phone, and I have the application on my laptop. So that's basically all I want to show you about the GUI, about the user experience. Now I want to show you something about the available PowerShell commandlets we have. So I'm starting here my PowerShell. And first I need to make a connection to my subscription. So here I have selected my subscription, and now I can show you which commands are available. So here I have all commandlets which are available, which can be used. First, I want to start you showing getting a list from all the applications published in my hybrid base collection. So here you see the same application as we saw from the console. But what I can also do, I can look into the image, connect to that hybrid base collection, and show me the applications which are available as a start menu icon. I want to publish my VLC media player, and that is not available in the image. So I have to do that by a command line, by entering a path. So here you can see I've here my path, and through this commandlet I can publish that application. So I click on publish Azure Remote App Program. And when I now go to my hybrid base collection, you should see that the publishing process is ongoing. And let's check here, the publishing process is going. So with that, we can publish our application. Let's go back to PowerShell. Of course, we can also unpublish a program, but I want to take a look to the drive redirection and USB redirection settings. I explained in the PowerPoint that that needs to be activated through PowerShell. So here is the commandlet to do that. Set Azure Remote App Collection and change that custom RDP property. When there is 0, it means disabled, and this is the command to enable it. So when I execute this command, you will see that the custom RDP properties will be changed, and from that moment that USB redirection is active. I can also send a message that can also be done through PowerShell. So I'm sending this message to this user. So you should see now a message incoming from Azure Remote App, because I have, and here the message is. So you can send a message to also your users from using Azure Remote App. So it's also a really powerful thing. I want to thank you also for viewing this demo. This will make the end to all the demos of my Enterprise Mobility Suite webinar. And I want to thank you for your time.
Looking to the implementation steps. So we have our Azure Remote App, but what is the process of starting with Azure Remote App? First, you need to inventory your applications. I think that is the most important step, to inventory which applications you want to publish through Azure Remote App. Because based on that list of applications, you need to decide which deployment model you are going to use. Because if your applications do need to have an Active Directory, then you're tied to the hybrid deployment model. But if your applications are not have the Active Directory as a prerequisite, then you probably can use a cloud deployment with VNet or without a VNet deployment. So it's very important to have that list of applications available and the prerequisites of those applications. So when you then have your deployment model, you need to take care of the prerequisites. Well, for a cloud deployment, there are not much prerequisites. Only for the hybrid deployment, you have some prerequisites. And the most important one is the on-premise Active Directory, I already explained. But there is also some configuration needed in that Active Directory. You need to have a special OU available for your instances of Azure Remote App. You need to have a service account ready, which can add those instances to that OU. And you need to have your UPN from Azure. So your internet routable UPN need to be configured on the user object. So you will get your tenant ID in Azure. And if you don't use a custom domain, you have to add that tenant UPN name to your user object. So that's an important one. Otherwise, you are not able to log on to your hybrid deployment. So if you have logon errors, that could be your UPN. Then you have to create or upload your images. You have to select your plan, and then you can create your collection, or Microsoft will deploy the collection then. And after the collection is deployed, you can publish your applications and assign your users. So then looking to patching and updates with the bold images you can use. I already explained you can use a platform image in a cloud deployment. And that's an image which is provided by Microsoft. And that's automatically maintained by Microsoft. So Microsoft will take care of installing the operating system and application system updates. And they will do that on an ongoing basis. But in those platform images, you will only have your Windows and your Office deployed. So you don't have the possibility to add your custom apps to a platform image. If you want to do that, then you will have to create your custom image. If your image is able to use in a cloud deployment, in a work group based environment, then you can use it in a cloud deployment. Otherwise, you can use that custom image in a hybrid deployment. When used in a hybrid deployment, you can choose to do ongoing updates, and there you can use your existing management tools like group policies, WSUS, and System Center. Or you can select an image-based update mechanism, and then you need to upload the template image to Azure Remote App, and then you can Microsoft will take care of the rolling out that image over all the instances available. So then, looking to applications, publishing applications can be done through selecting the start menu icon or entering the path of the application. A tip there, if you are creating your own custom image, try to publish all applications shortcuts in the start menu, because publishing an application with the start menu icon is just two clicks, and entering the path, yeah, that's just more work to be done there. So try to publish all your icons, all your application shortcuts in the start menu, and then it's easily to publish that application. Well, all applications are currently published to all users of the collection. So at this moment, there is no possibility to publish application to a limited set of users in your collection. That feature is on the roadmap, but it's still not there at this moment, so we can expect that in the future. But for now, all the published applications through a collection are available for all users. Looking to Microsoft Office, that's only supported if you have an Office 365 A3 or A4 license, and that has to do to shared computer activation, which is available in that license and not available in the other Office 365 licenses. So for Office, you are tied to Office 365, A3 or A4. The Microsoft FE applications are supported, so you are able to use those applications. You can do that standalone, or you can do that through the FE infrastructure server, or you can do that through config managers. So all options are supported, and I've tested them all and they are working. So you can use FE applications. Then looking to the Windows Store applications, those are not supported at this moment, and Windows 10 Universal Apps are also not supported, but they are on the roadmap, so we can expect in the future the support for that. Then looking to how to assign users to a collection. We can assign users through a single user selecting mechanism. That can be done through the console or through PowerShell. Just enter the username of that user and click on save, and then that user will be added. We have a bulk import possibility, but that is done through a CSV file. There was in the early days of Azure Remote App a functionality where you can give an Active Directory group, and that Active Directory group of the members of that Active Directory group were synced to Azure Remote App, but that feature was removed. But there are two community solutions for syncing AD groups. The first one you can find here on the slide deck is using PowerShell to do the job, to sync those users of your on-premise Active Directory group to an Azure Remote App collection. And the second solution is using Azure Automation. And the process around that is that on-premise Active Directory group will be synced to Azure Active Directory, because in a hybrid deployment, you already have that sync in place. So then your users are already in Azure, in the Azure Active Directory, and with Azure Automation, that group will be synced to Azure Remote App. And in the end, an email will be sent about the results of that script. So there are no surprises there that probably a lot of users are removed or added. An email is sent with the results of that script. That was also the main reason why Microsoft removed that feature, that there was no notification about how many members are added or removed from that from Azure Remote App. So that is taken care of in that last solution there. Then looking to the clients, Microsoft supports Windows almost all of their own operating systems. So looking to the Windows client, we have support from Windows 7 SP1, also for 8, 8.1, and 10. We can use it on a Windows phone, and we can use it on Windows R2, RT. And we also have support for Windows Embedded. So you can say that almost all Microsoft operating systems have a client there. It's a different client, so that's important to note. You cannot use your standard RDP client. It's a different client, so you need to install a different client there. There are also clients for iOS, Mac OS X, and Android, but there is at the moment no client for Linux. So if you have Linux, then you probably will have a problem because there is no client available at this moment. Then looking to the different client states a client can have. Of course, the client can have an active state. In an active state, the user is using that application. When the user is not using that application, the session will go in an idle state. And after 4 hours of an idle state, it will disconnect automatically the session of that user. But the user can reconnect to a disconnected session. But after 4 hours of that disconnected session, it will automatically log off. So if a user does not save his information and it wait for 8 hours, that information will be gone because the session will be locked off and there is no possibility to reconnect to a locked off session. So that's basically the same as we see in an on-prem remote desktop services environment. But the thing here is that those values are pre-configured. So you cannot change them by the console or through PowerShell. You have to contact Azure support if you want to change those variables of 4 hours. The good thing to note here is that you only will be charged for concurrent active sessions. So when a session is disconnected or locked off, you will not be charged for that session. Then looking to personal data. Your personal data is saved in a user profile disk, I already explained. And that user profile disk is a mounted VHD file of 50 gigabyte and it's geo-replicated in Microsoft Azure. So it's available in 6 different data centers within Azure. So we can say that that's high available. It's an important thing to note is that removing users from Azure Remote App, it will not remove or clear the user profile disk. So if you delete a user from Azure Remote App collection and you will re-add that user later on, it will get his old user profile disk. So that's important to note that the user profile disk of that user will not be deleted or cleared. Currently, we don't have any management possibilities for the user profile disk through the console or through PowerShell. So if you have a problem with the user profile disk or you want to download a backup of them, you have to contact Azure support and they will give you access to the user profile disk so you can clear it or you can download it as a backup. Then looking to the different options we have regarding sharing data, that can be done by OneDrive for Business, SharePoint, SharePoint Online, Dropbox, and if you're in a hybrid scenario, you can also use your on-premise network shares. And OneDrive for Business of OneDrive Personal is not supported right now. Then looking to client redirection. Client redirection is bringing your local resources of your users, of your user devices to your Azure Remote App session. You will see here all the types of redirection available. And you also can see that in Windows environments, all types of redirection are supported. And on the third party platforms, we have a limited set of redirection. All types of redirection are enabled, but you have to, all types, only the drive redirection and the USB redirection you have to enable by yourself. And that cannot be done through the console or through the portal. You have to do that through PowerShell. And for the USB redirection, there need to be something activated at the server side, but at the clients, you also need to do some settings to enable USB redirection. So drive and USB redirection need to be enabled by yourself. Now, in a hybrid scenario, all your resources are in Azure. So there is no possibility to have a pod in on-prem and a pod in Azure. So that's all in Azure. But in a hybrid scenario, those virtual machines are acting as it's you can just set an admin session, RDP session to that server, so you can manage it to your own needs. So there's no possibility to have a splitting between on-premise and in Azure, but you have all the possibilities there to manage those instances. Yeah, it's just full support, so it is supported to use the streaming functionality. And you can use your existing FV packages if they are packaged for a Windows Server operating system. So if those are already packaged against a Windows Server 2012 system, you can reuse those. So full FV support. Skype for Business can be deployed, but then you need an Office 365 license there, so that's possible. They are working on the video part, so probably that's the problem there, that the video part is not always that good, because it's still using a session sharing system, but I have heard that they're working on that, so the Skype is working, and we've tested that, and IM, for instance, is working, so. But the video part could be difficult. Yeah, you mean then that your session hosts don't have a connection to your AppV service? I think that's a configuration setting in AppV, and you're limited to the amount of cache you can create on an Azure Remote App instance, because Azure Remote App is using A3 virtual machines for those Remote App instances. So you're tied to the 127 gigabyte of space you have minus the OS for your AppV cache, so the space there is limited. But based on that, you can cache your applications, and those can be started in offline situations. You have some possibilities to log off a session from the console, and you can also do that by PowerShell. But killing a session when log off is not possible anymore, you have still have to contact Azure support. I have no information on when we have an update on the PowerShell commandlet, so no information there from my side. Of course, as Ronnie said, you can drop your comments, your requests in user voice, so that's an important one. If you have any features you want to add to Azure Remote App, feature requests, please use feedback, user voice, because the team is listening there. So if you have any feature requests, put them there, and people can also vote on those requests. So good tip there.